A few years ago, a friend of mine who was just recently received into the Catholic Church asked me a question when we were having a meal. He said, "You know, I'm a little bit confused about the celebration of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th, because not too long after that is the birth of Jesus on December 25th. How he could be conceived and then a few days after that, you know, you would be born." Well, I said, "You know, you better think twice about your question. What we celebrate today is not the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, but rather what we celebrate today is the conception of the Blessed Mother, Mary, in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. So if we count the conception of Mary in the womb of Saint Anne starting today, December 8th, and we count 9 months of pregnancy, that means that she would be born on September 8th, which is also the birth or the nativity of the Blessed Mother in the liturgical celebration of the Church. But also, the readings today, especially the Gospel particularly, can be a little bit confusing, because what we heard in the Gospel is not the story of the conception of Mary, but rather it is the story of the conception of Jesus. The story of the Annunciation, which we heard in the Gospel today, is the story of the conception of Jesus, which we normally celebrate on, when? March 25th. But we know that every Marian devotion, including the celebration that we have today, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, is always centered on adoration of Jesus. So no wonder, even though we are celebrating her conception today, the story is about her son. Because everything that she does or she did always points to Jesus. But what is the point? The point, the real reason why Mary was conceived immaculately in the womb of Saint Anne? Well, it's logical. If God needs to be born or wants to be born in the flesh, and God is all holy, without stain, without any kind of sin, of course, because he is God, then the womb that would be the dwelling place of God in the flesh must also be without any kind of stain. That is why Mary, the very reason why Mary was immaculately conceived, so that we will find a worthy dwelling for our Savior. The collect or the opening prayer today spells it out when it says, "O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son." The womb of Mary became a worthy dwelling for our Savior because she was immaculately conceived. But how did this happen? How did this happen? Did Mary do it to herself? How did this happen? You know, it's interesting. The opening prayer today also here explains how it happened. Just listen to this. "O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son, grant, we pray, that as you preserve her from every stain by virtue of the death of your son which you foresaw. It's like, what is this? Jesus was not yet even born yet, but even though Jesus was not born yet, he already saved his mother. He already saved his mother by what he'll gonna be doing in the future. It's like, wow, now that's a little bit confusing. When I was reflecting on it, just like, how could this happen? Well, it can happen because he is God. You see, Mary was immaculately conceived by Saint Anne because of the death of her son, which did not happen yet during her conception. It's retroactive. Is that the way you say it in English? It's amazing, meaning everything is still God's grace. Everything is still coming from the magnanimity of God's grace. So Mary, in this time of Advent, is really given to us as a model of waiting, as a model of anticipation. In this Advent season, we celebrate two great Marian feasts. Today, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and then in the next few days, on Saturday, we will celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe, in which Mary is projected as a pregnant mother, waiting for the birth of her son. What can we learn then with Mary during this period of Advent as we celebrate her Immaculate Conception? You know, one thing that stayed with me as I was reflecting on the Gospel today, on the Annunciation, one thing that stayed with me is the last line of the Gospel. What was the last line of the Gospel today, if you can remember? What was the last line in the story of the Annunciation today? I'll ask Deacon Bill because he was the one who read it. And the angel departed from her. That stayed with me. And the angel departed from her. You know, there is a tendency to romanticize a little bit this Annunciation. But actually, it was a very fearful event on the part of Mary. Just imagine this. She was probably praying during that time or doing something. And then an angel appeared to her and said, "Hail, full of grace." And she was surprised. It was like, "Okay, who are you? What do you want?" "I have a message to you. You will gonna be the mother of our Savior, the Messiah." And she said, "How can this be, since I have no relations with any man?" And then the angel said, "Well, it's the Holy Spirit. What can I say?" And then Mary said, "Okay, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel said, "Goodbye." That's practically what happened. It's like, if I were Mary, I would have asked the angel, "Can you help me out a little bit on here? What do I have to do after this? Are you going to be with me all throughout this process?" The angel just departed after announcing. Mary, if I were Mary, the first thing that would come to my mind is like, now that I'm conceiving, how can I explain this to mom and dad? How can I explain this to my neighbor? How can I explain this to my family? There was no manual given to Mary after she said yes. There was no manual. That is why, my dear friends, I truly believe that in the first few days after the Annunciation, Mary probably felt alone. It's like, how will I explain this to people? Yes, she had great faith, but she is also a person like us. But you know, she felt alone, but never lonely. She felt alone, but never despaired. And why is that? Because of her faith. Her faith made the huge difference in saying yes to God's invitation. This is really comforting to me, because there are times wherein God will gonna present something to me that I don't know what to do. There are times when God presents to me something, it's like, okay, Carrie, I want you to do this, but I have no, what I, you know, initially, I was just like, okay, how will I gonna do this? And sometimes you feel all alone in the things that you want to pursue. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one, you're the only one doing what's supposed to be done. And it's easy to be discouraged. But if we have faith, we will not gonna be despaired. We will not gonna be lonely. You know, I was talking to one of our parishioners here who is living in a nursing facility. I called some of them time by time, and I talked to one of them, and she said, you know what, Father, this time has been so, I have never felt so alone in my life than during this time of pandemic. My family could not visit me in person. They called me, and sometimes I would see them from my window. You know, they could not even enter into the lobby because it's not allowed. But she said, I was alone, but I have never felt lonely because I could still attend Mass through the website. My daughters would take turn in calling me. And the people here in the facility are actually very, very hospitable and very caring. She was alone, but never lonely. And this is, I think, what got through. As we look at the ordeal of Mary, I'm always intrigued with the story of the Annunciation till the Christmas season. And I am not espousing here any kind of feminist theology, but it just dawned on me how difficult it must have been with Mary. All of the events after the Annunciation, he was just surrounded by men. You know, shepherds, kings. I wonder, you know, there was no mention about her friends, women friends. And then the guy who was betrothed with her was doubting her. He was doubting her, fidelity. But she continued to be true to her yes. And that is because of her faith. You know, even though she was immaculately conceived, Mary had the choice to say no to the invitation of the angel. And her yes even became very significant because she had the possibility of saying no. You know, if she had no choice, then her yes didn't mean anything. But because she was given the choice and she said yes, fiat, that yes became even more powerful. If there's one thing that we can learn from Mary, aside from her fidelity, aside from her hope, is really her great courage, her fortitude. I've mentioned before that when I was growing up, I always have this very sanitized picture of Mary. You know, we look at her like demure, praying, which is are all good, great images of our Blessed Mother. More like subdue. But for a 15-year-old woman during that time to be able to say yes to this great, to this life-changing invitation, she must be a very courageous woman. And I should say that she is a warrior. Did you ever picture Mary as a warrior? You know, I like that image of the Blessed Mother as a warrior because she became a warrior for us in order for us to be saved. Her yes, her courageous yes, gave us Jesus. Her courageous yes gave us salvation. That is why the Immaculate Conception is the proximate beginning of the salvific plan of God. Thanks to Mary for her courageous yes. And may we, like her, await her Son with fidelity, with hope, and also with great faith, just like her. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, pray for us.